This week's showroom has been sponsored by family Grossman, Leila Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef, and Yisachar Dov, Zecher Livracha.
Yud Beis Menachemov, Friday the 12th of August, Rabbi Yaakov Sipper, the meaning and context of Shabbos Nachamu.
Good morning, gentlemen. There's an interesting Rashi in the end of Parshas Bereishis. Rashi on the Pasuk says, Vayinochem Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shem reconsidered. Rashi says, Kol Loshem Nichum. All instances when the Torah, we find in the Torah the word Nichum, it means a Loshem of Nimlach Malasos, reconsidering what to do. Where there are times, Uven Odom Vayisnochem, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a human that he should reconsider, Valavodov Yisnechom, and he will reconsider regarding his slaves. Shabbos Nachamu is related to the word Nechama. It is a time after Tisha B'Av, after the 3 weeks, where we have had time to reflect. What is the Nechama? We're still in Golos. The Beis HaMikdash is not here. We don't know whether we're any closer. Hopefully we are closer. But what is the Nechama? The Nechama is the fact that we are now able to focus clearer on what there is for us to do. What do we have to reconsider as we start off, so to speak, after Tisha B'Av, and to change, and to be able to bring towards the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. To revisit the Chazal, the well-known Chazal of Kamtzen Bar Kamtzen, a question which always bothered me was the Kamtzen. Kamtzen Bar Kamtzen, the party was made, and Kamtzen was supposed to be invited, and the Shliach made a mistake and invited Bar Kamtzen instead. He arrived at the party. The Baal Simcha was rather agitated to see him, and he stood up, went over to him, and he threw him out. Chazal tell us, Akamtza u'Bar Kamtza, Chorav Yushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of both Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. And the question begs itself. Kamtza missed the party. He didn't even have supper that night. So why is he responsible? Bar Kamtza is responsible. But why is Kamtza responsible? And you know, when one wants to really be done the kafskus. We all, for those who have made chasmas, know what it's like to make a simcha. You miss more than one night's sleep, rather few nights' sleep. The mechatonim have just arrived. The caterer, there's some problems with the catering. You're trying to get the table plans together, and the other side are just surprise you with another half a dozen people which mix up everything. And you've missed quite a few nights' sleep. And with everything else coming along, the Baal Simcha comes into the chasna rather agitated. And let's try and imagine the Baal Simcha sitting there after having prepared and gone through the difficulties of preparing for the Simcha. And he sees guests are coming in, and there's no place for them. There's no place. One of his business colleagues has just walked in. There's somebody who is hoping to strike up a big business deal with him. And the fellow walks in, and he looks, and there's no place. And he shrugs his shoulders and says, well, if that's the case, there's no place for me, I'm walking out. And he realizes that, and he runs over to that man and says, how dare you sit here, taking someone else's place, get out of here. And he throws him out. But what was the avla? Why was it? Why was this considered the bottom line that this brought about the Churban HaBayis? The Maral explains that the word kamtza and bar kamtza, The word comes from the word kamitza. It's related to the word kamitza with Menachas. Kamitza means division, separation, and splitting up. And he says a very important point. And he says like this. We know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Ahavta Rerecha Kamoicha. And yet we find that when Canaan called his children together, the legacy of Canaan, the Chazal tell us Canaan, on his deathbed, he wanted to make sure that his Derech HaChaim was perpetuated. And Chazal tell us, he gave over Chamisha Devorim, 5 instructions. Evu es HaGezel. Evu es HaZima. Enjoy stealing. Steal, rob, loot. Evu, and enjoy it without a conscience. Evu es HaGezel. Evu es HaZima. Al tedabru emes. Never speak the truth. Lie yourself out. Lie out of every situation. Gang up together. He said, Al tedabru emes, rebel against your masters. And finally they said was, Evu zeze, love each other. And the question is, that it doesn't fit in. The Evus HaGezel, Evus HaZima means a life of selfishness, self-centered, egoistic people. Just worry about yourself, don't care about anybody else. That's what Evus HaGezel, Evus HaZima, Al Kitab Remes lie. So how does that fit in with Evus Zezeh? Evus Zezeh, why is that different to Vafrecha Kamaicha? And of course, there's a very basic difference. Vafrecha Kamaicha is feeling for the other person. What does that person need? What can I do for that person? Evus Zezeh means gang up together. You can't manage on your own. A gang of thieves, a gang of terrorists. Reb Chaim Friedan, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, says a beautiful thought. He says that what Chazal are teaching us about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Kamtza means division. He said there was a friendship here between these two men. On what was the foundation, what was the basis of this friendship? It was a friendship which was the what they had in common was, it was a common dislike of one person. It was a common dislike of Bar Kamtza. The Bar Simcha and Kamtza had something in common. In fact, and that's possibly why Chazal put an accusing finger at Kamtza. What gave when the Bar Simcha was sitting there? Possibly he would have allowed Bar Kamtza to stay there. But he knew that his relationship with Kamtza, his relationship with Kamtza was such that Kamtza would meet him the next day and say, "What's going on? You invited our enemy? How could you do that? Don't we, whenever we're together, we're always up against this man. Are you changing sides?" So Chazal are teaching us what brought the Churban HaBayis when there's a friendship, when there's a group of friends, when your whole connection with another person is the common interest, the common denominator is being critical of other people, letzonus, teasing, humiliating. This is what you have in common. You both, when both two people have the same critical eye, this brings about the Churban HaBayis. So that's why Kamtza was held responsible. We are Baruch Hashem, after Tisha B'Av, we're looking towards Geula. It's interesting to examine a Chazal in connection with the Geula. We know that the Imon Shel Malchus, the mother of Malchus Beis David, Melech HaMashiach, was Rus. Omar Rav Zeira, Megillah Azu, Ein Boi Leitumav Leitara Leihetav Leissa, V'lom HaNichtava Lelamdecho Scha Shel Goyim LeChasodim. She was a Gemeles Chesed. The Mefarshim point out that she was not an organizer of a huge reshes group of various gemachim. She wasn't a woman who was involved with many different things. In fact, she looked after one person, and one person only, and that person was her mother-in-law. And Chazal say, "Lanam dechoscha shulgay mechasod." Let's examine what was the special chesed that she had, which somehow is to us to be the role model, an example of what can bring Mashiach, Malchus Beis David. There's a very fascinating Chazal in Medrash Rus. What was the point that Orpah turned round? Rus and Orpah were two sisters. They were two princesses who decided that they want to go along. They went with tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, Chazal tell us. They didn't even have shoes to wear. And they went barefoot, they're heading towards Eretz Yisrael, to a life of poverty, realizing that they would have to get their parnasa, leket shikon peah, a very difficult life. And Orpah and Rus were two sisters, they went hand in hand, they went a long way. Something happened, and Orpah turned round. What was it? Says the Medrash that Normi said, Al benoisai. And the Medrash says, Al benoisai, alalai benoisai. Ki marli ma'oid mikem. The Mefarshim explained, Omron Normi. If you want to wait to have another child, firstly, you should know it's highly unlikely. And even if I do have another child, I want you to know, I wouldn't even want them to marry you. Marli ma'oid mikem bishvilchem. Do you know something? She said to her daughters-in-law. The day I met you was the worst day in my life. You brought misfortune to our family. Marli ma'oid mikem, alalai albanai, alalai benoisai. Marli ma'oid mikem, whether you were the misfortune. The worst thing that ever happened to me was when you two joined my family. Get out of the family. Orpah says, goodbye. And Rus went along. It's a fascinating medrash, but I really feel, if I would want to to know in which shir does one put in such a medrash. This medrash is Mavral Midoisov. This is a classic case of Mavral Midoisov, that Rus could swallow and she could then continue. It's Mavral Midoisov. But Chazal don't say that. Chazal say, Lelameit Scha Shel Goim Lechasodi. What is this? Swallowing an insult like that, what has that got to do with Schashel, Goyim Lechasodim? She was a Mavral Midoisov, a wonderful mind. But what's it going to do with Goyim Lechasodim? I'd like to share an observation with you. If one looks around amongst, let's call it, one of the elite groups that Klal Yisrael have, there are people who excel in Gemilas Chasodim. Every community, every kehillah in Klal Yisrael have Yidden who excel in Gemilas Chasodim and Stoka. They are skonim, the Bali Chasodim, people who carry out chesed on a day-to-day. But yet, if one observes, I think it would be correct to say that they fall into two categories. There are people who are visibly, as you watch them doing chesed over the years, you notice a transformation in their character. Somehow by doing chesed, they're becoming chesed personalities. And you remember them when they were younger, they had certain rough edges on their character. And the way they dealt with people, the way they spoke, their retort. And somehow, as they get older, those rough edges are smoothened out. And you see them becoming nicer people. The way they speak to people, the whole demeanor, the whole interaction with people, it's wonderful to see it. And yet, equally, you see people who seemingly, on the surface, are doing the same amount of chesed with the same regularity and intensity. And yet, it doesn't seem to be transforming their midas. They can be carrying out tremendous chesed, and yet they can still be sharp and give sharp retorts, be critical, and sometimes hurt people's feelings. And you look at the person, you say, there's a contradiction here. It doesn't, what he's saying, and the way he treats people doesn't seem to fit in with what he is. Reb Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzad Livracha, explains, when it has to do with mitzvahs, he brings out the Chazal tell us in connection with Limud HaTorah, for example. We know that Menashe, Achav, and Yerovam were of the greatest Talmidei Chacham in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin. And yet, it didn't seem to do anything for them. They knew, Chazal tell us, Yerovam, Teirosam, Shal Yerovam, Lehoisav, Oshum, Daifi. It was perfect. It was without a flaw. You couldn't fault him on any halacha. And yet, Teirosam, Shal Yerovam. As the Rosh Hashiva once said to a Talmud, you've learned Shas, aber was hat Shas dir ausgelernt, mein Kind? What has it done to you? In other words, that the Torah, as Rav Shimon Schwab says, the Torah got stuck in their brains and never reached their heart. When it comes to Tefillah, there's a concept of befiv ubesvosov kibduni velibay rochak bimeni. Lip service, you can daven. Davening is not meant to be in the mouth. Davening is meant to be in the heart. Rabbi Eliyahu Lachin Zecher Tzad Livracha says that, you know, sometimes in the shuls, in the provinces, people come in for a yahrzeit, their father has been nifta, and they haven't been to a shul since they've been a child. Some of them haven't been to shul, and in the late 60s they come into shul for the first time. Dr. Belli, imagine coming into shul and seeing a yid walking in with his father's tefillin, and he's standing in shul, he rolls up his trouser leg and he starts putting tefillin on his leg. And he says to him, Rabbi, what exactly are you doing? He said, you're putting tefillin. It says to put on al yodecha. Isn't this called yodecha? So Zebelia, we'd laugh at him. The tefillin don't go on the leg, the tefillin go on the arm. So Zebelia, tefillin is not in the mouth, tefillin is in the heart. And sometimes it's befiv, besvosai, kibduni, liberochai meni. And so too when it comes to mitzvahs. With kima mitzvahs, there's such a concept called melumada. He says in every aspect, without careful introspection, a person can go through life and his avayas Hashem remains external actions, robotic, mechanical, melumada. Says the same concept Rav Pam adapts to the chesed. He says amongst Klal Yisrael, the chesed which is being done there's no comparison anywhere. But says Rav Pam, there are times when we want to upgrade. And we want to upgrade, we have to carry out an introspection. And he says, with all the organized chesed, we have to, there's a word of caution, without in any way underestimating it and taking away the value of it, but let us, in order to upgrade, says Rav Palm, one has to realize that chesed, there's no such thing by chesed as mass-produced chesed. There's no such thing as chesed one fits all. It doesn't work like that. Chesed is not just about achieving. Chesed, the main chesed, is about feeling, getting involved, and becoming an ish chesed. So let me explain this point clearly. Rav Schwab says that in Avodas Hashem, there's one area that you cannot do in a mechanical manner. You cannot do it. There's one area you cannot do in a robotic manner, and that is Avas Hashem. Because Avas Hashem comes from the heart. Something which has to come from the heart has to be real. Other things, limud ha-Torah, mitzvahs, tefillah, all of these things can be done in a mechanical manner. But when it comes to Avas Hashem, it comes from the heart. And I think the same thing is with chesed. Chesed could be an external action. It doesn't transform us. But I think if we add in one ingredient, we add in one ingredient to chesed, and we add in chesed with another ingredient of lev, and we are introduced to a subject called noisa ba'olim chaveirei. Noisa ba'olim chaveirei is not just about doing. Noisa ba'olim chaveirei is about feeling, feeling the pain, about feeling, about putting yourself into somebody's position. So it's chesed, but it is chesed with chesed where the heart is involved. There's the Rav Koppelman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, went to visit an old friend, he was an old friend, they were both over 100 at the time, and when he went to visit him, one of his previous chaverim in an old age home, when he was in America, and Rav Koppelman was very impressed that Rav Koppelman had made the effort. And therefore Lechvoida, he said to Rav Koppelman a beautiful vort. The first, the opening words of the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush was, Shal na'alecha, Shal na'alecha, take off your shoes. And this Yid said, why was this the first? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become the Manig Yisrael. And he said in Yiddish, A manig daf kenen feelen de kleine steindalach. If you're a Manig Yisrael, you've got to be able to feel the little pebbles. You've got to be able to feel, not just do chesed, you've got to be able to feel the pain of another Yid. There was once an Adam Gadol called the Chokhova Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, lived in Vienna. And he spent a long time and many, many hours a day trying to help the youngsters get out of the army, giving all types of advice, which of course, if he were to be caught, this would be considered treason. And the government became suspicious that somebody is advising. And they managed to hire the services of a professional moiser who dressed up. And this moiser came along to him, sat down and burst out crying, showed a letter, my son, my wife and I were married many, many years, and we were waiting for a child, and we had a child, and this is our tashit, our whole future, and now he's been called up to the army, Rebbe, you must help us, and he carries on. When he finished, the Rebbe turns around to him and says, I don't understand, have you never heard of Dina the Machlus of Dina? Are you not aware that one has to? Where's your cross of faith for the country? And if they've asked you, they want your son to go into active service, of course you have to allow your son to go into active service. What's wrong with you? I'm embarrassed that a Yid asked such a question. And this fellow is amazed. And he goes out, and he goes back to the government, and he wrote him, the government wrote him a letter of apology. So the Hasidim said to him, Rebbe, it says, Ruach HaKodesh. He says, no, it's not. When a Yid comes to Rhein by me, he said, when a Yid comes into me and pours out his heart, I feel my insides about to tear apart. I feel such pain, my whole stomach ties up, I feel the pain, and when I feel the pain, I cannot but help this person, even to danger of myself. But when this Yid came in, and he's pouring out his sorrows, I didn't feel anything. I thought, am I becoming just impervious? I don't feel the tzar, or is this guy an imposter? And I realize this guy's an imposter. Noisa ba'oil is about feeling. Rabbi Yerucham brings down, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, we find, he went out and he shared the burden of Klal Yisrael. He put his shoulder underneath. And Rabbi Yerucham explains, why did he do that? Nosan Einov v'nosan Liboy. Why did he do that? And the answer is like this. Because when you look at somebody, then you can only imagine what the person's going through. Moshe said, I want to feel the Tzar of Klal Yisrael. How do I feel it? He went. What does it feel like to have a massive slab of stone on your shoulders? What does it feel like? What does it feel? How painful is it? So however much you can imagine, but you can't really imagine. And Moshe went there. And he put his shoulder underneath, and suddenly the stone starts rubbing. The rough edge starts tearing off the skin on his shoulder. And then he suddenly starts, as he's carrying it, he starts feeling pain, and his back starts hurting him, and this hurts and that hurts. Moshe Rabbeinu put his shoulder in order to be able to feel the pain. This is the midah he learned from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yadati Es Machayev, to feel the pain. Klal Yisrael went into Golus. It says by the Shiftei Kol, one of the most frightening words, which I find in Chazal, in connection with the Shiftei Kol, Aval Asheimim Anachnu, when they admitted guilt. And the Sepurna and the Ramban both say, Aval Asheimim Anachnu, says the Sepurna, what does that mean? Hoyinu Achzorim Kineged Achinu, we were cruel to our brothers. I always find this such a difficult Chazal, because we know that the word Achzorius is used in connection with Amalek. Amalek, Amalekim, Achzorim. The Shiftei Kol can say, we were Achzorim to our brothers. And Rav Hirsch says that the word Achzor comes from two words. Achzor comes from the word Achzor. He is a stranger. He's a stranger. As a friend, a stranger. Achzor, he's a stranger. Of course, the brothers in no way could one compare them to Amalek. But what they were saying was that although the Mishpat was justified, but there was an area, the way we carried it out, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us, it shows that we didn't feel sufficiently. There was kmitza, there was division, there was separation in a family. Achzor, we treated him like a stranger. And that's why the Tzoras came. Rus, let's come back to Rus. Of course, when Hamanu said that to Rus, it must have been the most painful comment that any daughter-in-law could ever suffer from a mother-in-law, when Hamanu says that. But Rus was the mother of Melech HaMashiach. She felt the pain. Vatishoe ha isho mishnei elodeho, says the Yalkut, nesesor shiraya shireho. She was torn into shreds. She read between the words. Because when she heard Hamanu saying it, it hurt her. And the pain, her mother-in-law's pain, was far greater than the pain which she felt for the person insult. And that is how she said no. To the contrary, not only am I not going to leave my mother-in-law alone, I'm going to stand by her, I'm going to be with her, I'm going to turn her life back. And she did. Chazal say, Vateshev Nomi. Once again, Rus managed to reinstate that Ava Sachayim, and she became the once again Nomi. That is how Rus was like. Kamsen Bar Kamsa is the story, is where the Torah shows us. How can you have such a friendship where the whole friendship is division? How can you walk over to somebody? Where's your feeling? Achzorius, Achzor, there's no Beis HaMikdosh. Rus shows us the way back. The Nechama, the way back, is the way where we begin to feel and begin to identify with people's pain. Let me tell you something which I was thinking about, and I'm sure many of you have given it a thought as well. Let's talk about the three boys in Japan, the three Bachrim who were in Japan now too. And there's so much written about them in the papers. What's the purpose of so much reading material about the three Japanese boys? We're all going to give our contribution, or we've given our contribution, or we may decide not to give a contribution, or we're going to daven. But why do we have to read every single little detail? What's the purpose of it? And I think there's a wonderful lesson here. The story is told about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zeichet Zalman Livracha. There was once a young couple, two Balei Tshuva, walked in 1 week before the date that they were supposed to get married. And they told Rav Shlomo Zalman where they both came from, and they had come so far. And a week before the Chasana, a call came out that one of them was Psul Chitun. One of them, unfortunately, was not allowed to marry into the there was a Chashash Bamzeris. And they went round the Gedolim, and no Gadol could find the Hetter. But they were told that Shlomo Zalman, he may be able to find you a Hetter. And they presented the case, and Shlomo Zalman said, Vos kenich ha'echzogim, what can I tell you? The Torah doesn't allow it, what can I tell you? There's nothing I can say, what can I tell you? And they looked at him. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said, there's one thing I can do for you. And he put down his head between his hands, and he cried like a child for 20 minutes. And then he wished them good luck. He wished them atzlocha, and they went out. 24 hours later they returned. And this happened. Somebody came from Argentina who happened to have connections in the basin. And that person happened to have the connection, could verify that in fact a proper divorce had taken place when it was supposed to have taken place, and they managed to get married at that time. What's the story? What was it? How did that work? So I want to share with you one final yesod of Rabbi Yerucham, which is the most beautiful yesod. Rabbi Yerucham tells us like this. Rabbi Yerucham says, what's the purpose of being nice about it? He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends pain to the world, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends 60 kilos of pain to the world. 60 kilos. So that person is suffering that pain. We're sitting here, and you open up a Hamadiyah, you open up a Jewish Tribune, and you read about it, and you read about that person's pain. What can you do? If you daven, okay, you'll daven. But, says Rabbi Yerucham, if it bothers you, it hurts you, you give a krecht, you think, nebuch, nebuch, what that person's going through. You have tzar. Where does that tzar come from? That tzar comes off that person's cheshbon. Says Rabbi Yerucham, that when Chazal tell us that ben giloi noitel echad mishishim, when you visit a chayla, you're taking away part of his illness. Why are you taking away part of his illness? Because the fact that you have tzar when you see him, that tzar takes away from his tzar. When we sit and we think of those boys in prison, in solitary confinement, and the size of the room, and standing there with bare feet, and what they have to eat, and the pain, the physical, the emotional tzar that they have, and we sit there, and it's tutum's vei, it hurts us, that we are taking away, and we are actively helping them. When Reb Shlomo Zalman sat there and he cried, Reb Shlomo Zalman used up the tzar. They had to go through a certain tzar, and Reb Shlomo Zalman's tears brought the Yeshua for them. We are living in very difficult times. We're living in times that we need tremendous Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw, and I'll finish off with this story. I saw a story brought down from Dr. Pelkovitz. Dr. Pelkovitz is a very, very well-known therapist in America. And he tells a story of a woman who moved into a kehilla, an elderly woman who was blind. And the children used to come in and read to her, take her shopping and help her. And one day the children said to her, look, we'll do it for you, but as our Shevis Boch, we love doing it as long as you want. And she said, just for 2 more years. I won't need it after 2 years. She said, why won't you need it after 2 years? Because after 2 years I'll be able to see. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm not actually blind, I have a cataract over my eye. And I could have treatment for it, but it's very expensive and I have no money. In 2 years' time I'm going on pension. And when I go on pension, I'm entitled to have that operation done free of charge. This little girl was so upset she ran to school. And during break time she ran around to the classes and said, you know this woman in our kehilla, she needs operations, no money. All of you bring your pocket money. And the next day they went around the classes, they took a box round, and the children put their money together. And she went with this woman to the doctor. And she said to the doctor, this woman needs an operation. I have the money to pay for it. And the doctor arranged the operation, carried out the operation, the woman got her sight back. The parents found out about it, and they're very embarrassed, and they went to the specialist, and they said, you know, we feel terrible about this, but I don't know what happened, but our child seemed to have forced you. Tell, what did the operation cost, and we'll put the money together. And the surgeon said, and let me tell you something. I live amongst people who are so selfish and self-centered, and everything to them is about money and position and power. And here we have little children who have given away their hard-spent pocket money for that. It's my privilege to be involved. But there's only one condition to the parents, he said to the parents. And that condition is, you allow me to keep the envelope. And out of his pocket he takes an envelope. And he counted up all the torn little, the dollars and the half dollars, $83. And he said, "This I keep this with me, it restores my faith in humanity." An absolute true story. Let's use this true story as a nimshel. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Rofe Ne'eman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the doctor. There's so much pain in the world. There's so much tzoras in the world. What can we do? We cannot do more than $83. But we have to know, when we do our little bit, it's tut uns weh. Somebody can't find a shidduch, someone's not having children, someone's having difficulty with their children. And we do our little bit, it's tut uns weh. Ribbono Shel Olam kenna. What is our contribution? It doesn't make a difference what it is. But the Rofe Ne'eman will say, if my kinderlech can do something, it restores my faith in Klal Yisrael. May the time come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores his faith in us, and this will be the time, Beis Hashem, we will go back to Klal Yisrael together with Sachazeno, Ineinu, Beshuv, Chanasim, Barachem.